What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype episode number 153. We got a jam-packed episode. Football's right around the corner. We got the Texans and the Chiefs tomorrow. So we're going to talk fantasy versus reality. We know you guys have been having your fantasy football drafts, so we're going to take some of that data from the fantasy drafts and look at what some of the cards are selling for and have a little bit of a roundtable discussion on, you know, would you invest in this guy compared to how people invest them in fantasy. So I think it'll be an interesting comparison. We're also going to talk Ben Baller Chrome, and we're going to have fun on today's show. So thanks for tuning in. We are now on the Mojo Break Media platform on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe there. That's where all of our content is. We just did an amazing show, the Dugout Sessions on Tuesday. We talked MLB, we talked Bowman cards, you know, what their prices are on some of the playoff race guys. So check that one out on our Mojo Break Media channel. C-Rad, what's going down?
What's up, everybody? Staying safe.
Yeah, what about that red sky out here, man? It's crazy. It's like we're in a movie right now.
Yeah, it was pretty jarring. I think everybody who woke up this morning was like, what is going on here?
I thought it was still night. My dog wakes me up to take him outside to go to the bathroom, and I was like, is it still like 2 a.m? Like, what's going on? No, it's 7 o'clock and the sky is purplish red. I like to think it's orange because the Giants are winning and it's orange sky bleeding down from San Francisco. Dan, what do you think? And what's up, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Well, what do I think?
I think everything's all messed up.
Yeah.
Tell us how it is. Tell us how you feel.
We're living through some times right now.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. We were just had like a massive heat wave, and it's like
that didn't help at all.
What's the date today? Is it like mid September?
Mm-hmm.
Early. It's I don't know. I'm ready for football. Are you ready for football? Who's ready for football?
I'm beyond ready for football. Bring it on.
They took Hank Williams Jr. off the.
They did again.
They
brought him back and they took him.
They
off?
Brought him back. Took him off.
What the heck? It ain't football without Hank Williams.
So
who's doing it again? Hank Carrie Underwood?
I don't. Actually, it's a collaboration between two people. I don't know.
Is it MGK?
It's not.
No,
it's not. I know you're really hoping for
it. No, maybe, you know.
I don't know. It's like somebody.
It's weird to have football right now. I know football's on time, and it's the only sport that's on time currently compared to, you know, with the baseball start and the NBA bubble. But yeah, it's doesn't feel like it was like football snuck upon, especially without any, you know, preseason going down.
Did anybody else miss preseason? Anybody else going like, man, like I really wanted some preseason games?
A little bit.
You know what I can use going forward? 2 preseason games, and I think that's what they're gonna go do anyway. But you need a couple of those games to get psychologically ready for football.
Yeah.
Like, because it feels like it's literally just been training camp the whole time, and now we're going from training camp into the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know you do have that those guys that, you know, maybe were 6th rounders that, you know, maybe get 2 touchdowns in a preseason game and it affects their cards. And I remember I think it was Randall Cobb. Maybe that was the first game of the season, but when Randall Cobb was a rookie, he had a 100-yard kick return. And all of a sudden his cards doubled and it was like, "Oh, you know, so you don't have that going into this season." So there's going to be some interesting storylines.
Yeah, that happened with Dak in 2016.
Yeah, right. He came. He wasn't even supposed to be the starter. I think Tony Romo got hurt.
Yep.
And you know, just vaulted right into position because the talk was Elliott at the time, and then all of a sudden we got Dak and Elliott. So
it happened with Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
Russell. It was going to be Matt Flynn was going to be the franchise quarterback, and Wilson won the job out of training camp in preseason, and the rest is history.
Well,
I mean, where would the Seahawks be with Matt Flynn?
maybe 3 Super Bowls. You never know. I mean, he did the same thing for the Raiders, right? He came in, and then who came in? Was that when Derek Carr came in? Wasn't he Flynn? Signed to the Raiders, Flynn? And then, oh, he, maybe that was I forget who came in, but he basically was signed to the Raiders. And
yeah,
he,
I remember.
And
I could be wrong. I think Flynn may have had 2 stints with the Raiders.
I think so. I think you're right.
I could be. I don't know. I don't know. It's I don't see. Rad should know. It's your team.
Matt Flynn, I don't know. I know he was on the team one time.
Certain years you block out as a fan.
You know
anyway,
who the backup?
You know?
I blocked out a lot of years.
You know who the Raiders have as one of their backups right now?
Yeah.
Deshaun Kizer.
What?
It's Peterman.
Mm.
And I think Kizer is on their practice
squad. The former Brown, the former Notre Dame.
Deshaun Kizer. Kind of pick up some, what is he, 2015 rookie? 2014?
can't remember, but I remember.
Maybe 16.
2016? 2016. Hey, somewhere between 2012 and 2020.
One of those years.
Well, we don't have much to talk about in terms of basketball. I think we're going to review that next week. But I did want to show this that I saw pop up on Panini's website today. And I think it drops tomorrow. And some of you guys may say cash grab. I think it's easy to say that. But we've got a Zion Williamson logo man, one of one, sticker auto, starting at $30,000 for this. And I don't think that's a logo man off a jersey. It appears to be one from a hat, which maybe needed to be put in the title because I think people can be confused. But what do you guys think? $30,000, they're just printing money on Panini's website. What do you think this goes for?
I think they needed more logo mans. Been talking about it all year. I'm like, they're single-handedly this year, they are devaluing the logo man. It's like almost every week there is like another logo man. That one right there, it's like black and white.
Yeah.
Like where is that off of?
Like, it's got to be off a Pelican hat,
right? I mean,
right?
It could be – don't they have logo mans on the shorts now as well? Could it be on the shorts? Could it be Maybe. On the hat? Is there a hat out there that is just filled with logo mans? What's going down? Like
Ziggy in the chat says it's from a mask. Logo man mask that we were talking about earlier.
It could be, but, you know, Panini, the basketball season is ending. The epic Zion rookie season that's put the cards through the roof.
You mean the third best rookie?
I guess. But Panini is not going to leave any money on the table. This is not going to be the last one. You think that's going to be the last one? It's not going to be. Flawless has to come out.
One is sold direct. This is like.
No. They're going to have another direct logo man.
But that's. I don't mind the box pulled logo mans that everybody has a fair chance to chase. I don't like when they make a logo man and sell it at a Dutch auction on their website. And I don't think
this will
not
be the last one. They just did it with the. They had Prism logo mans.
Yeah.
This is not the last one. They're going to have flawless they will have a flawless logo man of some type. That's
probably Immaculate, too.
Yep, Immaculate will have one. Who knows, Opulence might have some.
Yeah,
logo
so
mans.
For me, like we talked about this many times before this year, for me, obviously, the less logo mans out there, the better. But for me, because it's a rookie, I don't mind it as much as if like they were going to start putting out more veterans. Because like as we always talk about, the rookie logo mans, they kind of don't matter anyway. They do in the grand scheme of things. Like you want the NT and Immaculate and Flawless logo mans, of course, because they're like the main line rookie cards. But anything else like the none of them are game worn. That's my point. Is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So like the rookie ones really don't matter as much. But like the veteran stuff is the ones that I really care about because those are game used.
Yeah,
so
you could say that about any sport though.
Yeah,
like, about the NFL shields, like
right,
like all the NFL shields.
NFL shields. I feel the same way. The same way I feel about an NBA rookie logo man. It's like I don't care about them too much. But once they start getting to the territory of putting out a bunch of veteran, like LeBron, like say they start putting out LeBron logo mans and Steph Curry logo mans on direct, then I'm gonna start having an issue with this. But as it is, like I. You know, I'm kind of indifferent with the rookie logo mans that they're putting out.
I mean, honestly, I think the card is ugly. Personally, I just the sticker. I mean, they probably can only acquire sticker autos at the moment. Just think it's an ugly card, and we mentioned this in other podcasts before that I almost feel like this is like going to one of those man-made pools that you can go fish, and you basically pay for the. It's like an 8-foot pool, and
right.
You're gonna catch a fish like every minute because it's easy. And that's what this is. It's not pack pulled. So I feel like if I was somebody who would be like, look at my Zion logo, man, I'd be like, I'd be like, that's ugly, dude. Like you didn't even pack pull that. Like organically pack pulling, or even if you buy it from somebody that pack pulled, at least it was like in a print run of like 5,000 boxes or whatever, and it was one of the main cards.
Yeah,
I feel like this
that.
Is just like faking it. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, I don't those like man made swimming pond or the fishing ponds, what if there's a chance you can go there and not catch a fish?
You'd have to be pretty bad.
I'm not that good.
Because it's
free. I could be that guy.
It's free to get in. They only charge you for what you catch. So they want you.
Oh, so they're actually, if you can't figure it out, they'll just go out there and be like, look, we're just, I'm going to, here's a fish.
No, they actually.
they're all here, just grab one and hand it to you and be like, leave.
They actually may have a guy that you don't see underneath. He's like putting it on your pole. He's just like
in scuba gear, just like going down and just hooking it for you.
But why is this fish dead? I don't know. It's a 20 pounder. That's $100. They're gonna pay me. Oh, I didn't want to catch anything.
That's good.
Yeah, but or what's that game that you play where a kid game where the little fish like just like, you know, like this, and you put the pole, you have to catch them all. That's basically what this is.
Yeah, yeah. That board game, yeah.
I forget what it's called. My kids love it.
Except this is, you need 30 grand to play.
Well, 30 grand if you want to buy it outright. I mean, where does this go? Who pays for this and what amount?
15 grand.
15?
I say 10. This
people love that.
This particular one is obviously a cap logoman of some sort, so it's not going to have the same type of value as in even that prison one they put out, because that prison one that you could tell that's like a jersey logo, man, right? Like, because it was red, has red and blue in it.
Mm-hmm.
This one is black and white, and it looks like obviously like the stitching on a cap, you know, like the front of my hat here is.
And the card actually looks like Dominion to me.
Yeah, and you said, the design isn't great, so my guess is like, I want to say like 10, man. 10K.
I'm thinking it's closer to 5.
It's funny that I say 15 and you say 5, but.
What do you guys think in the chat?
We're critiquing it, right?
Yeah.
They just made a card and sold it for 10 grand.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I mean, obviously there is a value for it because somebody will pay that amount. Like, I don't think it goes down to 5.
I know. I'm probably being a little low.
I mean, if you look at what the other logo mans have sold for, I could see it going for 15. I think it's a psychological thing where it starts at 30 and somebody pulls the trigger at 15 because they're 50%. Like, I'm getting it for half.
Yeah,
getting
right. It's like, well, you're right. Yeah, I mean.
So for me, go ahead, make your money penny on this, but don't start doing what, you know.
Well, this is kind of borderline, like, I don't know. Like, at least when Zion goes on there and he knows he signed a million, you know, autos that go in NT, Mosaic, whatever he signed in his signing session. And then if he, like, literally, this is like, here, C-Rad, like, sign this for me. I'm going to give you $100. And then here, guy, I'm going to sell this for you for 10 grand. It was literally like, here's $100 to sign. Give me 15 grand for it. Like, there was no middle between.
There's nothing else that you can actually be doing with that right now. That's not very COVID friendly. You're taking your mask. You put it next to C-Rad like 4 times.
Nobody touched it.
You put it next to me like 4 times. I'm like, why are you doing it? Why couldn't you use this?
So see, or we do this.
Here's something I've been spitting on for a while. Can I go ahead and put it over here next to you? And then
I haven't used this one yet, to be fair. But like, it's like C-Rad was signing, and I'm like, okay, I'm giving you $100, and then you're like, I want to buy it. And I'm like, I'm gonna give you 15 grand. What I'm saying by the point I'm trying to say here is that like Zion could look into this and be like, well, why don't I charge more then?
Well,
I know he doesn't have the license, but
so I think that Zion and his agent have probably been told, well, you're getting paid more than anybody in the rookie class, which is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the rookie class, you're getting paid more than anybody else, and they're putting in about the same amount of work. So he probably looks at that and goes, well, after this 1 year of doing this, it's only a 1 year it's like that rookie contract that they have for signing.
Right.
So like, he's like, well, I'll renegotiate next year at a price that I want. And this is what basically happens. This is why you don't see a lot of second, third, fourth.
Because they see what their autos sell for.
This is why you don't see a lot of their autos in products, because they go back to the table and renegotiate.
Yeah, so they either want more money, they don't want to sign anymore. That's a real thing too. Athletes just don't want to sign any more autographs, right? Or they want more money. And that's why, like you were just saying, that you don't see a lot of and then the superstar guys, they actually do. Panini does go back and, like, you know, try to really sign them, like guys like Giannis, obviously, right. Kobe when he was there, still here with us. Steph Curry, they still have him sign every year.
But you look at guys like Brady. When Donruss comes out, there's a reason why there's only 5 Tom Brady autos.
Yeah, because $400 or $500
because
auto. Probably.
Yeah, Brady wants Brady money.
Exactly.
And that's why it's short printed. I mean, there's other players that you could that you see that are in every product. We always talk about the Alex English and the Fat Lever and players who like had a good career, but they're what we call value signers.
Yep.
They basically are like, we'll sign. I mean, there's a lot of football players as well that are the same way. Like Joe Namath was like that for a while. He was pretty much in anything and everything.
And then oftentimes also too, I know people are probably wondering like second year autos, like most of the times those are just leftovers from their rookie year.
Yep. Yeah. You usually don't see them in like year three. I mean, Cam Newton, you don't even see anymore. No Cam Newton autos. But one thing I did want to point out is we're getting a lot of hatred on Zion in the chat. He's going to be fat. He's going to have five knee surgeries. So, you know, and I'm seeing that. It's like after he got third place, it's like, you know, prices of wax have gone down for the 1920 season. Granted, they're not Zion or Ja aren't playing. Rui's not playing. I mean, you got Tyler Hero playing. But it's interesting to see how it plays out on that wax. But I did want to move on to Ben Baller, Topps Chrome. So they're making another edition of Topps Chrome. I'm sure you guys have heard of this. If you haven't, you'll start seeing these singles pop up. One thing I wanted to do first was applaud Topps for the way they sold this. Every other website's been getting bots and people have been buying hundreds of boxes at a time. Topps did the Nike way that we'd been talking about on old hype podcasts, where they did a fill this out if you're interested. We're going to send you an email if you win and you're going to be allowed to be buying one box. So in theory, more people get one box than five people getting 100 boxes with bots. So I applaud them. Lot of time and effort to do what they did. We'll see if they do it going forward. So I think there needs to be more praise towards Topps on Twitter. I think when I go home today, I'm actually going to tweet it out because they only hear the negativity. Oh, your site crashed. You suck. I can't get a box. What the hell? You know, you're only selling to bots. They did this, which was harder for them to do, and they did it for us. That's all I'm saying. They did it for us. It does not benefit them in any regard to ship one box to 10,000 people or however many they sold. So props to Topps on that for letting collectors have a piece of letting every collector have an equal opportunity of getting a box.
Quite the opposite. They actually made it internally probably a logistical nightmare. That's why distributors exist. It's because manufacturers want to sell to five accounts.
Yes.
They don't want to sell to 50,000 accounts.
Right.
So they want to do five orders, huge bulk orders, and then let other people deal with it. With the direct thing, it's kind of the same mindset. That's why you didn't see a lot of companies like, you know, crack down on the bots, because they're making their money regardless of how it's purchased.
Right.
And if it's going to be a bot that is going to get, you know, 150 boxes, that's them shipping 150 boxes out to one account instead of 150 shipments to 150 accounts, one box each. So I give major props to Topps for this. It's great for the collectors, bad for the flippers. I mean, the flippers, the ones who have the bots can't be happy about it.
Right.
They just basically had Topps just ripped loads of money out of their pocket.
Mm-hmm. I will say, knowing a lot about from the shoe perspective too, like of Nike doing this, you know, this raffle type instead of the letting everybody just buy it all at once. I do know for a fact that eventually the bots will still figure out a way, because even for Nike raffles, majority of the people that get the shoes are still bots.
I'm not a tech guy, but you can probably figure out a bot that'll create just a bunch of accounts.
Right.
And then you can probably tie them together within the bot. So basically you have the bot make
just makes it harder, but they're still.
It can still be. It's not like they figured out the foolproof plan to eliminate all bots. They didn't.
Yeah.
And if there's money to be made, people will find
a way.
And I
do agree with you guys, like, of course, and the optics of it also, it gives people, they see that they have a chance, whereas if they just let it open season, like, people feel like they don't even have a chance. So when you let people sign up, you know, put their email, like, okay, we'll let you know if you win, it gives people that feeling like, okay, I do actually have a chance here. Whereas when they just put it up for sale and it sells out in a couple of minutes, then it's like, well, all the bots got it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean.
And I wonder if it was Ben Baller's doing. Like, maybe he was like, I'm going to do this, but I want to make sure that it's done this way.
He definitely has, you know, he's very familiar with all type of flipping and reselling communities.
But, I mean,
so.
But let's also face, I mean, the boxes came out and Topps was selling them direct for $250.
Yeah. And with little to no autograph content.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel that that is probably about $150 too much.
Well, I mean, the market doesn't dictate that, and we'll go into it. Here's some of the pictures of the Ben Baller Topps Chrome. So it's the same, basically, Topps Chrome cards, but it has the Ben Baller chain where the team is. You can see it's a little iced out. He has a special insert die cut that he's put in there. And just to read the breakdown, it looks like autos, unless some, you know, I haven't seen a box yet, so I don't know if that's what it's going to say on the box, but according to the Cardboard Connection, it looks like there's only gold refractors, 1 in 403 packs, orange refractor autos, red refractors, and super refractor autos. So it doesn't look like you're guaranteed an autograph per box. I could be wrong. I can't seem to find that. But you are getting your parallels and stuff like that. So they could have made a lot of it. Now, if you look at what the secondary market is doing, it would dictate that there's not a lot of it. So if you look at the secondary market early on, there's people paying $700 a box, $40 a pack. So $250 through Topps, turn around and making, you know, selling it for $700. So there is demand for this. My question to you guys is, and that's for everybody in the chat and you guys sitting here, does this, like, if you've been buying Luis Robert base cards, does this piss you off knowing that there's another Luis Robert base card?
Well, you're over
that
here.
That is a little bit different, obviously.
You're over here talking about them autos. That's old man collecting now. That's old man collecting. We're going after those rookies now. We're going after those parallels. We're not going after that autograph.
That old man music.
No, I'm kidding. But maybe I'm not. No, it's a different card. It's a completely different. For those Luis Robert like super collectors, they're gonna want these cards as well. If you have the mentality where you're like, "Oh, great, there's another Luis Robert rookie," well, you're gonna be having that mentality for all year long because there's gonna be a bunch of releases. I mean, we got Black Chrome coming out.
It's exactly what Ziggy said. You guys are thinking on the same level.
We got Black Chrome.
But
coming
this
out.
Is the that- first year that we've had. Like we've literally haven't progressed into this. We've just jumped into making 5 or 6 more sets, right? So, and then you have that thing that we were talking about, Rally Road, when they have their set. They have Finest made Finest Flashbacks. I mean, there's just so many more parallels. That's all I'm saying is it, can the market handle it? We don't know. It's as of right now, it seems like the market can handle it. But, you know, 5 years down the line, when there's, you know, 150,000 different Luis Robert cards on the market, they're not going to sell for a premium because they're no longer limited. And that's what I fear, is just seeing how much production is being done.
We're seeing how far we can take it right now. We're on this steep incline, and we're going to hit the peak. So I don't think the peak is with the Ben Baller brand, but I also don't think that this is going to be the last direct Topps release this year.
Yep.
I think there's going to be, I don't know how many, but 10 more wouldn't surprise me.
And you know what? Maybe the saving grace for guys like us that do breaks and people that do buy hobby boxes, maybe instead of them raising the price on hobby boxes, they've used this outlet. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're making $250 a box on this Ben Baller. I'm sure Ben Baller's getting a cut of that too. But, you know, I know that at one point the cost of Topps Chrome Hobby was like $60, right? That was the cost. I don't know what the true cost is anymore, but they're probably into these boxes for $30 or $40. So they're making $210-ish a box, paying Ben Baller some of that money too. So maybe the silver lining is it's not affecting the hobby portion of it, because they could have easily just taken the Topps Chrome, knowing that Robert's in it, and said, you know what, instead of being this price to wholesalers and dealers, it's going to be this price.
I actually think they're into it for less. There's less autograph content.
True, true.
So if the autographs are really, really hard, I mean, we're just essentially printing up base cards with very little. I mean, you said, what, 400, 1 in 400 and something packs to get an autograph?
Mm-hmm. from what I could see. I'm not sure if that's true. See, so, right, what do you think about the you know, using, like, obviously they're using the influencer approach here.
Right.
They're using somebody that's very open on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And did a really good job of promoting and hyping up the product. What is your thoughts on this product, Topps Chrome Ben Baller Edition?
For me, you know, somebody who's been following Ben Baller obviously for a very long time, you know, even he acknowledges on his Instagram, he's like, it's kind of, he's blown away, you know, by the hobby in general, and just the reception that he's been getting. For me, like, it's almost like, you know, I'm extremely happy for him. And the set to me looks nice, you know what I mean? Like, it does look really nice. I wish I got some boxes myself just for personal. But, yeah, really, I don't have anything bad to say about the whole situation. I think it's a win for Topps. It's a win for Ben Baller, obviously, expanding his brand. Yeah, we'll see what's next.
And we've got a few boxes that are going to be put into break, so look out for those probably in mixers, probably on the Monday mixers specifically, or any of the home run mixers that C-Rad does will have a Ben Baller box in it coming up as soon as we get it. I don't know when we're getting it. And that's another thing. Don't be that guy on Twitter saying that all my friends have got the box and mine's still in shipment. And it's like, they tried to ship it to a lot more people this time. So yeah. Give them
there's going to be tons of people.
And,
like that.
And that's another thing. Like, because they did it the way they did it, where everybody was limited to one box, the delay on shipping is going to be weeks out.
Yeah.
Now on mine personally, I paid for overnight. So
we'll see.
I mean, I'll probably get it
a little bit faster,
but they are going to be shipping these out for 2 to 3 weeks. So there's going to be people who are going to get them 2 to 3 weeks before you do.
Right.
It's going to happen. It's going to break down that way. And I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know if, like, they do it based on the orders that came through. So maybe the people who have the Montgomery Club or a part of the Montgomery Club are going to get it first, because those are going to get shipped out first. Who knows? Who knows how they do it? But there will be delays.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if that's what I'm saying. If we complain too much, they may just go back to the old way and let the bots get 100 boxes a piece. That's all I'm saying. So if you like this way, refrain and let them take – they'll get you your box. You'll have it. You'll have your box. Just chill. I mean, I think I do feel for the people that maybe sold it on eBay, and they may not get it for like 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe should have thought about that, but you know what I mean? Because now you're going to have your buyer saying, when's this shipping? When's this shipping? When's this shipping? When's this shipping? Cancel my order.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if these boxes hold at that price. That might be the issue too, because there's so many of them.
Well, I mean, everybody's into them for $250, depending if you paid for, you know, extra shipping or whatnot. I don't think anybody is going to lose money.
No.
You may not be. If you wait 3, 4, or 5 weeks, you may it could dry up too. You don't know. Like,
there could be
a lot of breakers who are breaking it, who are buying it on the secondary market. It starts drying up. If you wait it out, it can actually go up even higher. I wouldn't get in panic mode and try to sell your box like as soon as you get it in hand.
Right.
Get an idea of what the market's doing, and I think it's going to hold around $600, and then like I was saying, the more it gets ripped, the more it dries up, it could go up a little bit.
Well, and that's the thing. If everybody has one box, there shouldn't be a guy that panics and starts going down to 300 a box because he has 150 of them.
Well, I mean, we've exactly. seen it before, and we've seen it in this industry for a lot of different releases, and nothing recent because everything's been going through the roof, but there used to be a race to the bottom. It used to be like, who is going to sell it for the cheapest? This guy is at 200, and this guy goes down to 190, then this person goes down to 180, and then that person goes down to 170.
Still happens quite often with first off the line.
It does, but like, it doesn't go down to the point where I used to look at product and go, right now people are selling it for cheaper than what I paid for at wholesale.
You mean like with regular hobby?
With regular hobby, yeah, like back in the day. Yes. Like you would basically see like somebody on eBay selling it for $190, somebody on eBay selling it for $180, mm-hmm. and then $175, and it would just basically go down until people were like, I'm losing money.
Right.
Like, after fees and everything, I'm losing money.
When Blowout actually lived up to their name?
Yeah, and when Blowout, you would basically go on their site, and for triple threads, they would be $4 more than my wholesale price.
Right.
Free shipping.
Yeah.
Well, how do you do it?
How do you compete?
So
that's how they got their market share.
I don't think we're not going to be at that point with this Ben Baller, because I don't think it's going to get down to, even close to original cost. Yeah. But just saying, like, it wasn't always like this. Like, it could go back to that at some point.
Probably will, sooner than later.
Everything is peaks and valleys, man. It'll go back.
Before we move on to the main topic of today's show, SB did ask, do I like the product? And I haven't seen it yet to give you my opinion on it. I'm always like, less is more, so I usually don't like new versions of something. So, but I got to see these cards in person, so to give you my true review. But I'm always I always like limited stuff. So, I mean, I think this kind of might muddy up the Topps Chrome brand a little bit, especially with Chrome Black coming out. I don't know. We'll see. But if the singles take off and people like these, sky's the limit. But all right, let's get into some football talk. So fantasy football versus reality. So I wanted to go over the top five fantasy picks, the average draft fantasy picks, and I wanted to compare their cards. So obviously, what position player sells the best in the hobby?
Quarterback.
Right? No
disputing that. Well, in fantasy, the quarterbacks aren't taken first. It's typically the running back. So we're going to jump right into the first overall pick in most people's draft is Mr. Christian McCaffrey, former Stanford alum. What are you thinking?
C-Mac?
Yeah, number
no,
one.
No.
Consensus.
No. It should be Josh Jacobs, number one.
Oh, wow.
Easily. Like,
no.
Did he make the team at a training camp?
I think he's a third string. But so Christian McCaffrey had a great season. I think he was – and it was an extreme amount of their offense last year. I mean, he touched the ball more than anybody, almost more than Cam Newton last year. Well, Cam Newton wasn't on the field the whole season, but more than the quarterback. So if you look at his cards, we're actually going to compare contenders, and for you newbies, Prism Silvers. So if you look at Christian McCaffrey's contenders, yes, there's actually a brand that has autographs. It's called Contenders, and it used to be one of the more sought-after cards before Prism. So I know a lot of you guys think, oh, it's only Prism, but no, Contenders used to be sought after.
That's that old timey collecting.
It's that old timey collecting.
Not used to. It's only been like 6 months now.
Things change quick.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. Six months in this hobby is like 10 years, man. So Christian McCaffrey's rookie ticket base, $207. Prism Silver, $97.
Oh, that's a deal.
So, and these guys are running backs, right? So I know you guys in the chat before, running backs don't sell when it comes to the hobby. Well, maybe this is our year. I don't know. So you go to number two consensus fantasy overall pick. And, before we get to number two, I wanted to mention that Christian McCaffrey's Prism is in 2017 Prism. So it's probably going to be very hard for you to pack pull because those boxes are now $5,499 for one box.
Why is that? Because of Patrick?
Because of Mahomes. He's not even Watson's that good, in there as well. So, those boxes are pretty pricey. So, second consensus overall pick, Saquon Barkley.
Oh, man, this list is hurting my soul.
This is just average draft position, so the people have spoken to you.
Right there.
I mean, I'd like to see, Garoppolo in there too. It just doesn't happen. So, a silver Barkley, 118, a contender's auto of Barkley, 2018 was his rookie year, 255. You go to number three, another running back, which is Ezekiel Elliott wearing the half shirt, and his contender's base auto is 184, and his Prism Silver is 57. So before we move to four and five, I was looking at this and going, okay, who's the top seller? Saquon is the top seller amongst cards. Right? Who has the newest cards out of the three? Saquon. Who sells the least? Elliot. Who has the oldest cards? Elliot. So is this like a new booty situation what have you done for me lately? It doesn't matter?
No, it's the fact that we all know the shelf life of a running back. Elliot's going into his fourth year. Is his prime behind him now? Does he have another really good year? Is it going to start breaking down? Saquon, you could look at it and go, well, he's going to go right. This could be the best year of his career. And then McCaffrey, I don't know. My issue with McCaffrey is that he has just literally touched the ball too much. He is just on the field and touching the ball. He can't basically put up the same stats as he put up last year.
Yeah, I mean, but if we were just focusing on those three running backs, what do you guys who do you guys think long term, if you had to make a decision, who would you invest in out of those three?
Oh man,
and you guys in the chat as well.
I'd go Barkley. Like, and I just explained why. I think he is still poised to have the best season of his career. Where I think the other two guys.
Is he with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I was like, you got to think about the team, bro.
Yeah, but
I
know. He catches the ball out of the backfield.
Put up the numbers, but the team success, point. I don't know.
He's explosive. Saquon.
But what about which team has the best chance of winning a Super Bowl?
Dallas.
Okay, Dallas, so then yeah. He's the cheapest out of them all. Wouldn't you invest in Ezekiel Elliott?
No.
So, and then does Carolina even have a shot in that division?
Everybody has a shot.
So that's the thing that's befuddling to me is that the first overall pick is Christian McCaffrey. He's probably by far on the worst Carolina team he's ever been on. They didn't even draft an offensive guy this year. It was all defense.
They don't need one. They run their offense through him.
You need more than just – well, then I would just stack the box if I was playing them and stop him.
You defensive
kind of similar
now?
To what the Niners did. I'm just saying.
Well, obviously you don't believe in the Saquon Barkley hype. So I take it you're going C-Mac, Elliott, then Barkley?
I think I'm going Elliott at that price. Actually, that was a good segue. Number four on the list, Dalvin Cook.
Every time you say segue, I just think of the – like the Paul Blart.
Barton Mall Cop. So Dalvin Cook.
We need one of those here.
Dalvin Cook, this was astonishing. So under $50 for a contender's rookie auto and $40 for a silver. So, and the 2017, I mean, the class, obviously, like we said, it's got Mahomes in it. But this guy has a lot of potential at this price. He's probably, out of the four we've talked about, he's probably the second best chance of getting in the Super Bowl behind Elliott, right?
He has never sold well.
Yeah.
His rookie year, he didn't sell well. He has never translated well to the hobby. For whatever reason, Dalvin Cook, he could probably break the all-time rushing record in a season, and I don't think his cards would go up much.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
Does his auto look like crap?
I have no idea.
Maybe because he's on Minnesota.
Is it the market? But we can't go with market if we're talking about Carolina over Dallas. So obviously Carolina, McCaffrey sells for more than Elliott does.
The Dalvin Cook, he does have two different autographs. I think we're looking right there at his contender's autograph.
That's his newest one.
He did have the early autographs for like the DC4. I think he might have been number four in college. But I don't know. Maybe people were like, I don't like his autograph. But I remember, like, his cards were – he was one of the best rookie running backs out of that draft, and his cards never did well.
I mean, after just extrapolating some of this data, the one thing I see is that the newest guy is selling more than the guys behind him. So is Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year, is he going to be the guy that sells for more than Saquon now? So is it like you have like a short shelf life for running backs of any kind of value? Because I remember even Saquon, if you look at that price we had, the contenders at $255, I think they were like $800 the rookie year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's gone down significantly. The last guy on the list is a receiver, and it's, you know, can't guard Mike, Michael Thomas. And his prices are going up. So $187 for a contenders and $110 for a Prism Silver.
But that's still – he is probably hands down the best at his position right now. It's him and D-Hop. And you can get the best guy at his position, rookie ticket contenders auto for under $200. That just tells me, like, and I've said it before – what is the point of collecting any other position that's not a quarterback?
Well, here's where I want to go with this. And because, you know, data that we've had in this hobby changes on a weekly basis. So you look at Patrick Mahomes. You look at his prices, right? Just won the Super Bowl. You look at his contenders. $35,000 for a contender, Patrick Mahomes.
Whoa, we jumped up quick, real quick there.
$6,000 for a Prism Silver.
What did I just get done saying? You got it. Quarterbacks.
Correct.
It's not even that good, though.
But nobody,
it's not even close.
But here's my point. Here's my point. And I'm not saying this is going to happen. But my point is that these guys are so untouchable that nobody's going to have $35,000 to drop on a contenders. Not many of us are. We'll have that kind of money. Or even $6,000 on a Prism Silver. So Brady you can't afford. I'm saying there's so much of an influx of newbies in this hobby that they may be like, I've got Elliot on my fantasy team. I'm going to buy Elliot cards. It's a different scope of this hobby. I could actually see that this could be the year where running back value, it won't get close to quarterback, but it could pick up because there's just not going to be, you can't afford some of these guys that perform. You know what I'm saying?
I like that train of thought.
You know what I mean? So am I off base
here? I get what you're saying, but like in 2020, I would basically collect every quarterback I possibly could. And you know they're not all going to pan out, but you just need that one guy to be Patrick Mahomes to pay for your full investment.
Right.
It's definitely a high-risk, high-reward type of deal because the quarterbacks are not going to be cheap. None of them are going to be cheap. There's not going to be a rookie quarterback this year that's going to be – you're going to be able to get on the cheap except for, like, the Nate Stanleys and James Morgan?
James Morgan.
Those guys, maybe. But
might be cheap.
But Tua, Burrow, Eason.
Love.
I get that. But like those guys are – we've already looked at their prices. They're already untouchable for most people. So, but
no. I mean, but you've seen what they – Patrick Mahomes, that Patrick Mahomes contender card, his rookie year, was that a $900 card, $1,100 card?
We sold that same one for $1,300.
$1,300. So, yeah. Okay. So and that was actually after he had already started. His second season already started. Then we sold it. So – that we didn't sell that his rookie year.
No, his rookie year, you could probably get that card.
That rookie year, his rookie year.
Probably $200?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
So look at the upside. You basically turn $300-$400 into $35,000. Yes. You'll never be able to do that with any running back.
Yeah, but.
You'll never be able to do that with any receiver. You can literally buy all the best cards of every rookie running back.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't equal the $35,000 for one card.
Right. Yeah, I think to Doug's point, I could see that. Like, so obviously data is changing all the time in this hobby. There's so many new people coming into this hobby. Obviously, we've been having no real sports for a while. You know what I mean? Like, we just started getting sports back, and we're getting football back now. The fantasy guys that are also getting to the sports cards right now, they could be looking at the quarterback prices going like they're kind of insane. Let me look at these, you know, these guys who we're drafting in everybody we're drafting in the first round are all running backs. Like, let me look at these guys' cards. And I can see a situation where just like overnight Russell Wilson Prism base cards are going up to $2,500. I can see a situation where, wow, Saquon's contender is worth like $400 now. Oh, it's worth $450 now.
I think – as an investment, you can go different positions and you can make money because what you're saying during the regular season, somebody could have a big game. Somebody have a big couple games. Edwards-Helaire can go off Thursday night and his cards could go up to $500-$700 per. Next week, he has a bad week and they're back down to where they were.
Yeah, it's week to week.
So it's week to week for football. And you, if you're quick enough, you could buy and flip every week these other positions. I'm saying if you're going for the big score, you're going for that card that you basically buy for $300-$400 that turns into a $30,000 card, you could only do that with one position. That quarterback is the only position that can happen.
Well,
but you can absolutely make money and even double your money probably on running back and receiver, but you're going to be looking at buy a card for $100, sell it for $200.
So you don't think that anybody could be like the next Barry or Emmett, where long term their rookie cards would be worth a lot?
Look what you can get. You can go out and get the highest grade
Barry Sanders
card, or the highest grade Emmett Smith card, or you even go back. I think LaDainian Tomlinson. I think he has contenders rookie autos, if I'm not mistaken. And you can consider him probably one of the top five running backs of all time.
Right.
You can buy his best card, the best grade. And it'd be under, it'd be it probably under $2,000.
So you don't think over time those top five running back guys, you don't think they'll go up in price?
I think with running backs and receivers, it's tricky because you have every team has 4 to 5 receivers that are on the field.
Yeah.
So
I learned my lesson with receivers.
How do you guarantee that your rookie receiver is going to be getting the ball more than anybody else?
Yeah.
Right.
With running backs, at least
it's guaranteed touches.
At least running backs, you do know. You do know.
That's why it always surprises me that wide receivers sell for more than running backs.
Yeah.
You know? And wide receivers tend to be more diva. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got that, like, you know, you see what Odell Beckham, you see Antonio Brown's, you know, fallout. But I wanted to compare this situation to basketball because I think a lot of basketball collectors, now that Ja and Zion aren't playing, a lot of the guys that jumped in during basketball are starting to look into football. So that's why I think this is important, because Zion and Ja were so expensive that you started to see people buy Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that you started to see people buy Tyler Hero. Started, you know, obviously Rui was selling the whole year. Your boy Brandon Clark was starting to sell because there's just so much at the top that there has to be other guys that sell to fulfill everybody's PC, because there's a lot of people, especially this hobby, that don't want to follow the trend. They want to be the guy that gets the next guy.
Exactly. Now, and maybe there's a lot of people like that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So maybe that's the situation with Russell Wilson right now, why his cards finally caught up. But I could see it happening where there's just too much. Russell Wilson's too expensive. Mahomes is too expensive. Cam Newton's too expensive. Joe Burrow's too expensive. Well, Saquon's pretty affordable. He just had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, but there's always going to be those rookie quarterbacks that come into the league where you can get cheap. Like, you can get, I mean, Eason and guys like that, even Tua. Like, you can get Tua and even Burrow. You can get these guys for...
In certain sets, yeah.
In certain sets, relatively cheap. Not cheap.
Not cheap.
Not cheap, but...
Compared to $35,000?
Like, yeah, the sky, like, with some... like, if you hit on one of these guys, the sky is the limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then one last guy I wanted to compare to who's actually jumped up and is Deshaun Watson. So it's going to be Deshaun versus Patrick Mahomes on a Thursday, tomorrow, big game.
Just got that
first
bang.
Game back. And, you know, his prices have climbed. So last year, I remember this Contenders was around $1,200. They're now at $3,220. Granted, it was from Shilstein 123. But then you also have a silver PSA 10 that sold for $1,200. So, you know, not even a fraction of Mahomes' prices, but in the same draft class, man, I'm actually starting to think.
That draft is loaded, bro.
I'm starting to think. So there's one thing to keep in mind, and I'm glad Ziggy brought this up. There's actually another good point about Mosaic he brought up that I'm going to bring up later here as well, that the price on the 17 Prism box that we brought up, how many rookies do you get? So keep in mind, in 17.
Everything was silver.
So how many do you get? How many do you get a box? I want to find out because I don't remember. It's been such a long time in hobby years.
Buy a box for $5,500. There
was somebody that really was paying attention to how many you get in a box. So.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's true. Yeah, that's we should true. Ask him.
Because
I mean, if you're getting like 15 to 20 rookie Prism silvers in a box, then
that's not a point though.
Then I mean, you got a C-Mac, you got a Watson, you could hit a Mahomes all in the same run, and maybe that $5,500 box isn't that bad of a deal. But you know, you got to have the $5,500 box. It's a lot to swallow on one box, but yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to look at that and see how many rookies that are prime are in this.
I might have to open up one of them boxes on my new channel, on that second channel.
I gotta say, 17. I know in hobby years that's like 30, 40 years ago. But at the old shop, I remember 17, we had a wall.
A crap ton of
it. We had a wall full of that.
Yeah.
We had it literally.
We were not making money on those
breaks. We had it. Yeah, we were breaking even. We had it stacked up to the ceiling. I remember going, man, I don't know what we're going to do with all this Prism.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm talking.
True story.
50 cases?
Yeah, see, Ziggy said 3 per pack with 36 per box. Granted, there's like 200 rookies, I think. So, you know, there's a lot of guys in there.
I'm super depressed right now.
Oh, there's a lot of products that we could do.
No,
that
I mean, that one. Like I
That one particularly that is one, pretty bad.
I remember, like, man, C-Rad, you're still running those 6 box, like, Prisms? He's like, at $29.99 a spot.
I did, like, 20-something 6 box half-case breaks that year of 2017.
It was, like, $29, $39.
Yep. $29.99 for six box half case random and all card ship.
Yeah.
And if I want to remember correctly, I think those grade pretty well. So, I mean, you get a Mahomes, you're probably doing pretty well, right? You're going to pay for your box. So, may not be, you know, at $5,000, it may not be enough, you know, maybe kind of low, but we'll see. Last thing I wanted to talk about, releasing on Friday, Shiny. Mosaic. And we've got it on the site. We got six box PYTs. We also have six box randoms. So this is interesting to look at. And Ziggy asked, do you think Panini made a mistake releasing this before Prism? I don't think so. I think it's kind of like the appetizer before the main course.
Yes, sir.
I think this is going to set the market for the Prisms, which may be just out of control. And he also points out, which I haven't had a chance to dissect the checklist, so I thank you for your knowledge, sir, is I guess none of the subsets have rookies. So I believe the rookies are only one
true
set.
Rookie.
Yes. So they're going to be hard to hit. Silvers are probably going to be pretty hard to hit. And I expect the Joe Burrows, call me crazy, but I think a silver Joe Burrow PSA 10 will probably sell for $2,000 out of the gate.
I thought I saw like the debut cards.
Like as an insert?
Maybe yeah. They have the debut and then the regular rookie, but they don't have any inserts of them.
Now, I'm assuming they still have the like the stained glass. Is that going to cross
over? But it's not going to be rookies. It's going to be only vets like Patrick Mahomes, Rodgers, stuff like that. So, but you got to think, if the LeBron card sells for X amount of dollars, a Patrick Mahomes stained glass should do pretty well. Probably a $200-$300 card.
Yeah,
minimum $200-$300 card. So the more I dive into this, I think, for one, the timing is impeccable, and I know that's another name of a product, but it's coming out before or right after the Chiefs-Texans game. So it's coming out Friday, so there's going to be just the ultimate amount of hype. It's got two autographs, which I think is going to be the afterthought. I think it's going to be all about those colored parallels, and I think that the basketball collectors that have moved over to football now, this is perfect for them. So I think it's a little high priced right now, but I think we're going to see these singles sell for more than we think.
See, I still think the autograph content in football is king. I don't think the rookie cards, that basketball mentality has come full swing in football yet. I still think the Burrow rookie auto is going to sell for more than just the Burrow base card.
And Ziggy's saying that they have the Marvels in here. But it's only vets. So usually a Marvel is a rookie.
What?
Yeah. That's what he's saying. It'll be based on the checklist. So
I haven't even hit a Marvel out of Donruss yet. They got Marvels in Mosaic now?
Yeah, guess
so. Why didn't they just save that for Donruss Optic?
Or put it in Donruss, right? I mean, Donruss Optic would make more sense. So, yeah, the price of the box is, I think it's going for $850 now. So, which is an insane price for football, but I think it speaks to the hype. I think it speaks to what collectors are chasing now, but we will have to see. We'll have another show next week. We may not have completed sales data on it, but we'll see. I want to do something funky. I've got these little questions, and I'm going to start with Dan. I don't know what this says. It's a little pod deck here.
I'm always the guinea pig.
It's not related to sports at all, so I'm going to ask one to Dan and one to C-Rad, so... Would you rather have pizza rolls or pizza bagels?
Oh, that's pizza. That's right up Dan's alley.
Pizza bagels.
Yeah.
Bagel anything, dude. Bagel dog.
You said pizza rolls or pizza.
Yeah, pizza rolls or pizza bagels. How about you guys in the chat?
I'm a roll guy.
Oh, dude, I don't understand.
Pizza roll,
dude.
Wall.
Bagels.
I like them both equally. I can't pick one. They're like my kids.
Pizza rolls, bro. All
right, and let's start one off for C-Rad here.
All
right. Would you rather have a road trip with Donald Trump or O.J. Simpson? What the heck? I'm about to throw this thing
A road
away.
Trip?
Would you rather have a road trip with Donald Trump or O.J. Simpson?
What do you think, C-Rad?
O.J.
O.J. I'll
think about it.
I'd go with the juice.
The juice? I think juice. I would, too. I mean, I don't know. All right, let's move on. Let's get past that political one there. would you rather be...
No, man, let's have a conversation.
Now I'm going to have a bunch of people hate me because I didn't say my man, Donald.
Let's just roll the next 45 minutes, just talk about that.
Forget I said that one. would you rather be single for a year, this includes no dating, or go on bad dates for a year straight?
I'm still thinking about the last question. What's up?
Would you rather be single for a year, this includes no dating, or go on bad dates for a straight year?
Bad dates.
I would rather be single because you could get so much accomplished that year.
Bad dates, why not?
Hustle.
Bad dates sound like you're going to have good stories.
True, very true.
That's true. Well, I like the idea of getting hella stuff done, too.
Yep. Yep. I hear you. Well, that's all we have for the show. I was trying out these pod decks that they got me on Instagram, so I got a few more of these.
We'll do that at the end of every show.
Why not? The what the heck might be less political, but anyways, thank you guys for tuning into The Hype. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at MojoBreak_com, as well as Instagram, and subscribe to Mojo Break Media. That is our new channel that only has content, so there's no breaks to kind of navigate to find our show. It's only content. So we're doing giveaways. We're doing all kinds of stuff. We're peeling back the curtain on the hobby. We're giving you guys advice. We've been doing this for 10 years. So, you know, we've seen a lot of cards through our time. So we love talking about it. Follow us on Mojo Break Media. And that's all we got for the show today. We got breaks. So if you're hanging out for breaks, stay here. And we got a lot of breaks. We got a lot of football breaks and Mosaic football coming out Friday. All right, guys. Peace.